sea, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day.
Just lets us have a little taste of what's going on in heaven. Now you hear the shouting going on around here. There's a lot more of that going on in heaven, amen. There's a lot of that going on. And so I thank the Lord he lets us have just a little taste. And I'm with Brother Griffiths. I think that song is my favorite too. Amen, I really do. I might get Ernie sing at my funeral. Amen, I like that. I really do. That was good singing, wasn't it? God blessed us. He's a blessing. And I just want him to keep blessing you. And so then the other way he's going to bless you is through the Word. And the Word of God is what makes that real. Amen. It makes that shout real. It makes that happiness real. It's the promise of the Word. It is the truth in the Word that makes all this real. Otherwise, we're just going through a form and a fashion. But it's what we stand upon, which is the Word of God. Come time for preaching. Brother Steve, if you would come and you pray for him now. I'd never seen this trio that sung this last part here, but I enjoyed that. And I had my sister that came and helped. I appreciate that. There's some water, brother, right there. But bless you, son. I love you.
Well, it's good to be in church tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn back to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Ruth, chapter number 1. I have thoroughly enjoyed the good choir singing. I love to see people enjoy what they do. And it has blessed my heart. And certainly, Brother Ernie and Miss Debbie, I appreciate their singing and their spirit. They have blessed my heart so, so many times. But tonight, I want us to look again in Ruth chapter 1. We're still doing an aerial view of the book of Ruth. If you're willing and able, would you stand at the reading of God's Word? The Bible said in verse number 1 now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, who would be the wife of Mahlon, and the name of the other Ruth, who had been the wife of Chilion. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. But in chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. You can be seated tonight. Last evening, I wanted to emphasize the thought about the book of Ruth as we look at it from above, is a book that has a horrible beginning, but a happy ending. A horrible beginning, but a happy ending. There is a funeral in chapter 1, but there is a wedding in chapter 4. There is sorrow in chapter 1, but there is joy in chapter 4. There are grave markers in Moab in chapter 1. But there has been the birth certificate of a baby by the name of Obed lodged in the city of Bethlehem and recorded in the genealogy of Elimelech. Amen. It began horribly, but it had a happy ending. And I emphasize the fact that that's the way life is. Man that is born of a woman is full a few days and full of trouble. But I am here to tell you, I have read the last chapter of the book, and we're not going to end on the last rung of the ladder. Oh no, we're going to end on top. There will be triumph and victory. Though we began this life in trouble, praise God, one day we're going to be at home in that celestial land that is fairer than day. Hallelujah to His name tonight. It is a book that begins horribly but ends happily. There's a second emphasis as we fly over the book of Ruth. You will find that the book of Ruth is a human story that has a heavenly significance. By that I mean Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion. These are people who actually lived. They experienced joys and sorrows. They face life's challenges. They had their ups and their downs. It is a human story, it is a story about the love between Ruth and Boaz. But that's not the important matter of it all. It is the fact that it pictures the love that Christ has for the church and the church has for Christ. It is a human story that has a heavenly meaning. Jesus spoke in parables. A parable is just simply an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. And tonight, if you read the book of Hosea, it is a human story that has a heavenly meaning. God said to Hosea, go marry Gomer. And he did. And they bore a child. And then Gomer became unfaithful to Hosea. She bore two more children, and she went the way of the world. Her children cry for her to come home, but she never came. And in chapter 3, God said to Gomer, or said to Hosea, Gomer is being sold on the slave block down at the city. I want you to take all your money. I want you to take your barley. He had an ephod of barley and a half of ephod of barley. He gave all that he had to buy Gomer off of the slave block of sin. Oh, because Gomer was loved by Hosea. Hosea is not a book so much about Hosea and Gomer as it is about God and about his people. They had walked away from their God. They had taken idols. They had been unfaithful to their vows. But God didn't write them off. No, God continued to love his people. He continued to reach for his people. It is a human story that has a heavenly meaning. When you look in the book of Ruth, there is a heavenly significance. There is in the book of Ruth the message of the gospel. You will find in the book of Ruth the New Testament truth of the gospel. In fact, the Old Testament is just the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You find in the pages of the Old Testament, you find types and shadows. You find truth that is explained and expounded in the New Testament. You say, well, preacher, where do we find the gospel in the book of Ruth? Well, I want you to note the tidings of the gospel. If you read verse 6 of chapter number 1, you know what it says? It says this: then she, that is Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She had heard the good news. She had heard the glad tidings that God had visited her people back in Bethlehem, Judah, and had given them bread. Do you remember when you heard the message, when you heard those tidings that God loved you, that God sent his son to save you from your sin? And Naomi heard the good news. I'm here to tell you, that lonely night when those shepherds kept watch over their sheep, the Bible said that suddenly the glory of the Lord appeared. Amen. And the angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's what Naomi heard down there in Moab. I'm glad I heard that message. Oh, one blessed night. Oh, I thank him this evening. The tidings of the gospel. In the New Testament, the word, the Greek word gospel, it was used to describe that Roman soldier who would run with the message of victory back to headquarters. He would run from the battlefield and carry the message that the enemy had been defeated. But in Bible terms, it's not the messenger who is the gospel, but it is the message. Hallelujah. I'm just an errand boy. I'm just a messenger. I've come to tell you Christ has died on that rugged cross. I've come to tell you that victory was won at Calvary. The debt of our sin has forever been paid. He cried, "It is finished." I'm glad that he took the brunt of our sin's penalty, and he suffered for you and me, and I can bear the message that is good news to sinners, that Christ has paid your debt of sin. Hallelujah, bless his name. The gospel, the tidings of the gospel. It uses the word visited. How God had visited his people. That's an interesting term, because it means that God superintends, or that God oversees or takes note to attend with care. It is a word used to describe how God gave Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. It says that the Lord visited Sarah. In the book of Genesis, it said, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, for the Lord did unto Sarah as he had said. And she brought forth a son." God initiated the miracle of the birth of Isaac. This little word visit means that God not only takes oversight, but he takes oversight of a subordinate, somebody lower than himself, by taking action to cause a dramatic and miraculous change in one's circumstances for the better. That's describing you and me. We were lost and hopeless and helpless, dead in our trespasses and sin. But God, who is our superior, took action on our behalf, who were inferior. And because of that, God has brought life out of death. Oh, bless his name tonight. That's good news to hear from him. But there's something else I want to say about the gospel. Not only the tidings of the gospel, but I want to say something about the testimony of the gospel. Have you ever wondered why Ruth wanted Naomi's people? Have you ever wondered why that Ruth wanted Naomi's country? Have you ever wondered why Ruth wanted Naomi's God? I believe that Naomi bore a faithful testimony in the land and country of Moab. I believe that she was just like the little maid in Naaman's household that remained faithful to her God and bore testimony to the ability of God through his prophet. I believe Naomi lived in such a fashion in front of Ruth that it impacted his life, her life. Can you remember somebody living in front of you? Maybe somebody knocking on your door. Maybe somebody at work on your job. They told you about Jesus. It might have been the man of God standing on Sunday morning, but somebody bore testimony to the power of the gospel. I'm glad somebody told me about the good news. Glad I had a man of God that faithfully preached to me. Glad I had a mama and a grandmother that told me about the Lord. And tonight somebody bore testimony to you. And Ruth saw faith was real in Naomi's life, and she wanted the God that Naomi lived for, that Naomi claimed. Hallelujah to his name. It's important that we bear a good testimony. I want to give you this personal illustration. It's not about me, but it's about somebody I pastored years, years ago. There was a family when I pastored Beulah Baptist Church that came and joined our church, and they had two children, an older daughter and a younger son by the name of Matthew. And Matthew was a little slow. He was a good boy, but God saved him as he got older. And then after he got saved, they had to move from Taylorsville to Black Mountain because the mother's job moved them there. When Matthew got 17, he went to work at Ingalls Distribution Center there outside of Black Mountain. And Matthew would take his Bible to work with him. And he was slow, but he would read and on his lunch break. And there were some young men that worked with him, and they mocked Matthew. And they made fun of Matthew. But old Matthew just kept reading his Bible. He didn't let it bother him. Time went on. He became a barber there locally in Swannanoa and made a living. But just a few weeks ago, he went to bed one night and he never woke up in this land. He woke up into that celestial homeland. And he's just 48 years old. But it was told at his funeral, as the preacher who came from Kentucky, he said, several years ago, I came to the church where Matthew was a member at. My wife and I stood up and testified that Sunday morning that God had saved me and called me to preach. And he said, this is my story. Said, I was a young man working at Ingalls Distribution Center. Said, there's a young boy read his Bible every day at lunch, and we'd make fun of him, and we'd criticize him, and we'd mock him, but said, God never let me get away from that testimony. God got to working in my life, and he convicted my heart, and he saved me, and he called me to preach. And I've just come here this morning to thank Matthew Jones that he bore a faithful testimony to my life. You and I need to bear a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's not only a message of the gospel in the book of Ruth, but there is also the message of grace in the book of Ruth. I'm here to tell you that's a New Testament truth. It's found in the Old Testament, but it is expanded in the New Testament, and it is the message of grace. When you look at Ruth, it is grace unmerited. That's just simple and profound in its simplicity. It is grace unmerited. That means I didn't do a thing to cause God to love me. I didn't do a thing to cause God to give His Son to die for my sin. I didn't get good enough. I didn't get better enough. I didn't quit doing things and then God paid attention to me. Oh no, I was lost and undone without Him. It was something unmerited. Did not deserve to be saved. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was an idolater. She lived in a land of spiritual adultery. She lived among the gods of Baal and one especially the god of Molech with a belly where they'd offer their children as sacrifices to their God. There wasn't anything good about Ruth that would merit God coming to her, but it was simply because of who God was. That's the only reason I'm saved tonight. It ain't because I had something good about me. I was a sinner on my way to hell, but I'm glad just as God came all the way down to Moab, God came to where I was at, and He lifted me out of that sinking sand and that miry clay. There is a message of grace in the book of Romans. It is grace unmerited. But it is also grace that is unbounding. Unbounding. Did you know that the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy condemned the Moabites? The Bible said this in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3, "An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." The law of God said to Ruth, you can't come in. The law of God said to Ruth, you must stay away. The law of God closed the door to Ruth coming to Bethlehem. But I'm glad, hallelujah, God unbounded that condemnation. God went down to where she was at, and when they got to Bethlehem, I'm glad He ushered her in to the city. Oh, bless His name. There was a day when condemnation rung over our life. It hung there as a dark shadow. It was terrible. But I'm glad for grace that took me out from underneath that condemnation. I'm glad, hallelujah, it is grace that is unbound. But lastly, and I'm done, and I want y'all to get ready to sing something for us. You will find that it is grace unimagined. Who would have ever thought that God would take a Moabitess lady and bring her all the way to Bethlehem? Who'd ever thought of that? If I'd have been doing it, I wouldn't have done it that way. I'd have picked some Jewish girl, I reckon. But that's not the way grace works. Grace doesn't pick peoples. Grace is for all of us. I'm glad for the young, the old, it's for the educated, the uneducated. We're all in need of salvation and grace. Grace here worked in her life. You see, what happened to Ruth is something that was totally unexpected. It was unforeseen and it was inconceivable. Why, who would have ever thought God would save somebody like Ruth? But I say to this evening, who would ever thought God would save somebody like me? I was just as lost as Ruth was. I was just as much a sinner in my state as Ruth was. I was a little 9.5-year little old boy going to the house of God, but I was just as lost. I was just as certain for hell, but I'm glad grace came to where I was at. Who would have ever thought that God would save Ruth? But God did. It is grace doing the extraordinary. It is grace doing the impossible and the improbable and the incredible. It is grace doing that which is unbelievable and exceptional and amazing and marvelous. Marvelous grace been extended to you and I. Who would have ever thought God had come to where you were at? But grace came to where you and I were. But I'm here to tell you, grace just didn't get her into Bethlehem. Grace got her into the family. Hallelujah. Did you know that grace gave her royalty and dignity and honor? You say, how do you know? You go read Matthew chapter number 1 about the lineage of our Savior Jesus Christ. And you're going to find that little four-letter word, R-U-T-H. She's in the lineage of our blessed Lord's genealogy. And I'm glad, hallelujah, God gave her dignity and honor. But I'm here to tell you, she ain't got a thing on me or you. You say, why? Because I'm a royal myself. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 1, now unto him, him, who is him? He's the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and he's the prince of the kings of this earth. But unto him who loved us, and unto him who washed us in his own blood. And the next verse says, and hath made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. He has given us royalty. I'm in the same family that Ruth is in. You're in the same family that Ruth got into. You belong to him. You have the same Father. You have the same Savior. You have the same promise. I say, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Grace! Grace! And imagine tonight, while we stand, God speaking to your heart. Maybe you need to tell somebody what he's done in your life. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. While they sing, God speaking to your heart, these altars are open. Sing it, Miss Debbie.
Yeah.
Amen. There is grace. There is good news tonight. A plan. Burdens get so heavy. Amen.
Yeah.
pray that you have done what God wanted you to do. I pray that there's been some heart service or checking or looking into your heart. It's one of those kind of services. God has taken us not only a flyover in the message, He's took us a flyover in our own self to show us His greatness, how good He is, and where we are. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. I really do.